old cooking oil for a biodiesel fuel to power cars. The restaurant chain Burgerville USA has 39 outlets in Oregon and the state of Washington. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Wayne Gilman.
News sponsored in part by Blue Blocker Sunglasses. Get Blue Blockers at your local Rite Aid drugstore. See clearer, farther, and protect your eyes with solid UV protection. Blue Blockers, available at all Rite Aids in many new cool styles.
Support our troops. We hear it practically every day. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. The USO receives no government funding and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people. To find out more, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at uso.org.
Mom just turned 82. I really worry about her living alone.
My mom's 74, and this is the first year she's going to be on her own. It's pretty scary.
My dad's 88. He's in great shape, but I still need to check on him several times a day.
Each year, more and more older Americans choose to maintain their independence and live alone. But if you're a child of one of them, you worry. What would happen if they became ill, got injured, or fell, and were unable to reach a home? The answer is a small pendant from Alert USA. This two-way personal emergency response system is meant for those times when help is needed, but the phone is out of reach. The wearer simply presses the pendant, alerting our monitoring station, who then summons help to get residents. Right now, for a limited time, get the Alert USA system for just 50 cents a day. For a free brochure, call 1-800-401-8833. That's 1-800-401-8833. Act now and receive a smoke detector with free 24-hour monitoring when you subscribe. 1-800-401-8833.
If you're one of the millions of Americans that suffers from acne or knows a friend or a loved one suffering, please turn up your radio and take down this life-changing information. Introducing Epiclear, the revolutionary new advanced skin treatment imported from Europe, formulated to help get rid of pimples and prevent further breakouts. Great for all ages and most skin irritations, Epiclear is doing something that no other acne treatment formula has ever done. Ever. We're so confident that Epiclear will clear up your skin that we're willing to let you try it for free. That's right, you heard free, and we mean free. Over a $70 value delivered without a prescription right to your house.
Call now while free supplies last at 1-800-701-3026. Nothing to risk and everything to gain. Call Epiclear at 1-800-701-3026. That was 1-800-701-3026. Limit one order per household, please. Call 1-800-701-3026. Shipping and handling not included.
If you're thinking about replacing your home's windows, think Sears. Custom replacement windows from Sears are low maintenance, tilt in for easy cleaning, and may also help reduce your energy costs. Add beauty to your home with custom replacement windows from Sears. Just call 1-800-349-2532 for a free in-home consultation. Call now and save $375 on select styles. Trust Sears for professional installation, convenient financing options, and best of all, with Sears, your satisfaction is guaranteed. Call Sears now at 1-800-349-2532 and save $375 on select styles. Offer ends 4/29/06. License number available upon request, not available in all areas. See associate or ask your consultant for written limited warranty details. If it's time to replace your windows, call Sears now, 1-800-349-2532. That's 1-800-349-2532.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And every time Rush Limbaugh hears that theme music, he ups his meds. Welcome to our program, my friends. Tom Hartman here with you on this beautiful Monday. Great to have you along for the ride. The number of times the uninsured are more likely to postpone seeking care, leave prescriptions unfilled, or skip recommended treatment, 3 times more likely than people with insurance. The percentage of, by which the death rate of the uninsured exceeds that of the insured, 25%. Therefore, the estimate is that the number of deaths caused in the United States each year by lack of insurance, at least 18,314. The United States is 37th in its overall rank of its healthcare system by a World Health Organization survey. France, which has a single-payer health system. Number one, is healthcare a right or a privilege? With us is Michael Tanner. He's the Director of Health and Welfare Studies at the Cato Institute, the libertarian think tank in Washington, D.C., their website, cato.org. Michael Tanner, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Michael, you're of the opinion that healthcare is a privilege and not a right. Is that an accurate depiction of your position?
My position is that healthcare is a commodity. It's goods and services that are provided, and there is simply no physical way of guaranteeing everybody all the health care they might possibly want.
I wonder, Michael Tanner, do you think that public education is a commodity?
Yes, to a large extent, public education is a commodity. Now, in economic terms, you can argue that public education to some degree is a public good in the sense that there's no way to exclude free riders and so on. But yes, there's a finite amount of what you can provide.
Even though the Constitution doesn't say that everybody in the United States is entitled to a free and competent public education, the Constitutions of many states say that, wouldn't you agree that most Americans have come to conclude that public education is a right and not a privilege?
Well, and I think that the state of public education in this country today proves that whatever you can call it doesn't necessarily mean it's provided.
Well, we can argue that.
That says that something is a right, but yet many people in those states do not receive a competent education.
Well, I don't disagree with you, and I think we have different reasons why. I would say this is the result of 25 years of right-wing assaults on public education, and I'm sure that you have a different theory about that. But, you know, I agree with you. Our public education system is in trouble. But the fundamental notion is that most Americans consider public education to be a right. I think most Americans consider Social Security to be a right as well, not a privilege. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, I don't think Social Security is a right because we simply don't guarantee it. In fact, the U.S. Supreme Court has held that there's no legal right to Social Security based on the fact that you pay Social Security taxes. That Social Security can be taken away, reduced. Congress is free to do whatever it wants with it. So we don't have any sort of constitutional
right. But don't you think that most Americans think of it as a right? Hey, I paid my Social Security taxes. I'm part of the society. I have a right to the Social Security.
Well, sure. I mean, I think that people generally react that way, and there's no doubt that these things are desirable social goals. They're certainly goods.
Right. So if we're treating Social Security and we're treating public education as a right, healthcare is really a much more visceral thing. I mean, healthcare has to do with whether we live or die. Why shouldn't that be considered a right?
Well, let's consider the fact that if healthcare is a right, then people have that right no matter what. What happens if there aren't insufficient doctors in a country to provide you with health care? If it is a right, then certainly the government would have the ability to conscript people and force them to provide health care. Go out and say, we need 200 more doctors. You must therefore go to medical school and provide that. Because after all, we can't deny these people a right. Once you start establishing positive rights, you permit the government to begin interfering with other people's rights. That's why most rights that we are actually guaranteed are negative rights that simply protect us against other people interfering with our behavior or our rights.
Well, first of all, that's a radical departure from the founders' perception of the Constitution. For example, you're suggesting that the negative rights that the Constitution has, like you have the right against being spied on by politicians, for example.
Sure.
A negative right. The right to privacy is a negative right. And yet I would say that that's also a positive right, because in order for that right to privacy to happen, you have to have, number one, a legislature to pass laws that enforce it. Number two, you have to have a police department that enforces it. You have to have prisons that put people in prison who do it. You have to have a public watchdogs, basically. You have to have prosecutors. All of this is paid for with tax dollars. I'd say there's no such thing as a negative right, because all of them require positive actions.
Well, no, the only action it requires me to respect your right not to be spied on is not to spy on you.
No, not true. What it requires you to do is pay your share of the dues to participate in a public society called taxes, so that people that we collectively hire, through our elected representatives, something called government, can protect government from spying on us. In other words, you and I pay taxes to make sure that there are laws in place to prevent the government from spying on us. So again, I would assert that the conservative position, or the libertarian position, really, that there are only negative rights in the Constitution, is just fundamentally flawed. But you know, we can disagree on that. I get it that you have a different point of view on that. But with regard to health care, I'm suggesting not that health care should be conscriptable. I mean, you know, we don't conscript judges in order to enforce my right to privacy. We don't conscript police to enforce my right to walk down the street in safety. And yet I think most Americans consider those things as rights, the right to be relatively safe.
We do conscript juries, but we'll leave that aside.
Well, we do. Well, we do and we don't. I mean, it's possible. Yeah, okay, I'll give you that. We conscript juries, and at times we've conscripted armies. But I think that your suggestion that if we make health care a right, we're going to have to conscript is nonsense. Come on.
Yeah, obviously that's, you know, the argument ad absurdum. I'm taking it to the nth degree.
I understand, but let's talk practically.
The point is, on a practical level, if you establish something as a right, then there is no legitimate way of limiting that right. Once you've established a right, then people have the right to health care. And you can't legitimately limit it. But yet, and in fact, if you're actually going to say it's a human right, then it doesn't even stop at our borders. The fact is, we should ensure that everybody in Haiti has exactly the same level of health care as someone in the U.S. because
no,
there's no differentiation in the way
we don't guarantee. I mean, you have the right of privacy in the United States. We don't guarantee that people in Haiti have the right of privacy. Come on, Michael.
A person in Haiti should have exactly the same rights in terms of privacy as someone in the United States.
We could say they should, but that doesn't mean that we're going to enforce it. I mean, yes, although the United States is one of five countries, including Mozambique and Somalia, that have not signed the UN Declaration of Human Rights, that's really a statement of goals. It's not anything that's going to be enforced. But my point is that this doesn't need to be written into the Constitution as an absolute right, but that we should be considering doing what every other industrialized nation in the world has done, and that is put the health insurance companies out of business. Say we don't need these bloodsuckers on our backs, paying their CEOs, by the way. We learned last week in the Wall Street Journal, the CEO of the second largest healthcare company in the United States just got $1.6 billion in compensation, making Lee Raymond at ExxonMobil look like a piker. We don't need these bloodsuckers on our backs. Get them out of here, and let's do something like the French do, like the German do, where you have a single payer healthcare system that can deliver healthcare at 1%, 2%, or 3% of overhead, rather than this private healthcare system that we have that's delivering healthcare at 25% to 35% of overhead.
Well, but the question is, what kind of quality healthcare do you actually get? Now, I mean, take for example prostate cancer. The death rate from prostate cancer in the U.S., even though we have a higher incidence of it, is only about 1 in 5. In France, which you just mentioned, it is closer to 50%. The fact is that simply saying that
that may or may not reflect the healthcare system. The fact of the matter is that a lot of prostate cancers started out as prostate infections that never got diagnosed, and the irritation led to the cancer. I mean, that may be a lifestyle thing. It may be that the French are more promiscuous than we are.
Well, you're absolutely right. And cross-country comparisons are necessarily inexact, but it also has to do with the fact that since prostate cancer is a slow-growing cancer, it is not necessarily cost-effective to treat. And
I don't think picking one disease out of the hat, Michael. We only have a minute left, Michael. I make your best point here. Why should we say to people, no, you don't have the right to live?
Because the national healthcare systems don't provide that. Every national healthcare system in the world ends up rationing care. If you're truly sick, the place
to be is the United
States.
You don't think we have rationed care here?
The place to be if you're truly sick is the United States, that still provides the highest quality healthcare for the sick in the world.
If you're in an absolute crisis, but if you want to avoid getting sick, or if you want to have any kind of preventative health care, this is not the place to come. We're not number one in longevity in the world.
Well, because longevity has much to do with exogenous issues that have nothing to do with the healthcare system. We have short longevity because we have higher rates of crime, drug abuse, poverty, violence, a whole host of other issues.
Then why did the World Health Organization rank us 37th in the world in terms of our healthcare system?
Well, because they include things like the percentage of insured as a way
like universal access,
which is sort of a circular reasoning.
Okay. Michael Tanner, Cato Institute, cato.org. Michael, thanks for being with us this morning.
Anytime.
Good talking with you. 16 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman program.
Maybe you see people listening to their iPods, white earbuds dangling from their ears, and maybe you don't have an iPod yet because you don't see yourself as that type of person. So are you the type that has a CD player or a six-disc changer in your car? To heck with that. Don't limit yourself. Enjoy your entire CD collection anytime, all smushed into a tiny little iPod. Your iPod is your personal portable jukebox. Plug your iPod into your car stereo or home stereo and take it with you when you travel. No matter where you go, your music collection goes with you. iPods are easy to use and easy to import your music from your CD collection. Talk to us about this if you need help. iPod is your personal portable jukebox. Oh, it's a beautiful thing enjoying today's technologies. This is Dawn from Small Dog Electronics, New England's largest Apple specialist. Come see us in our Small Dog showroom in Waysfield, Vermont, or on the web at smalldog.com. Small Dog, where you'll find high technology for low prices.
Memo to Karl Rove. Never again let George W. be posed with a real George W. George Washington. An AP photograph recently ran in several newspapers. A headshot of W. giving a talk in the White House. He was in the forefront of the picture, looking his goofy self, while our stately first president appeared to be just behind him, peering sternly at George. It was only an oil painting of Washington that loomed from the wall to the right of Bush's head, but the contrast between number 1 and number 43 was as unflattering for Bush as if the real man had stepped forward from history and stood beside him. The contrast was all the more striking because, on this very day, the White House was scrambling to explain yet another of Bush's lies. This one was George's flat-out claim in 2004 that he had no idea who had authorized the leak of some classified CIA information to reporters, a leak meant to discredit a prominent critic of Bush's Iraq invasion. If there's a leak out of my administration, barked George W. back then, I want to know who it is. If the person has violated the law, that person will be taken care of. But oops, it now appears that the authorization came from the leaker-in-chief, Bush himself. Rather than tell the truth, however, the Bushites proceeded to lie about the lie. White House PR flack Scott McClellan began flimming and flamming as fast as he could go, claiming that since Bush has the power to declassify government secrets, any information that he might have okayed to be leaked was, ergo ipso facto and presto changeo, not really classified. This is Jim Hightower saying, this is a version of Nixon's imperious assertion that when the president does it, that means that it is not illegal. One thing for sure, George W. is a whole lot closer to Nixon's ethics than to George Washington's. And that's why Carl should never let little George be pictured with the big guy.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac, and libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what, support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac Man.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
Don't think of buying from Canada. Oh, we will not play nice. We wrote on legislation forcing the nation to pay the top price. Oh, Grandma, sign the paper. Grandpa, don't be slow. Yes, you get medication if you join our HMO. There's no more Medicare. Oh, you'll just have to trust us while we're making Medicare go bust.
And welcome back. 21 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. Just a few insights into what's wrong with a profit-driven healthcare system. Because the reality is you're going to have a healthcare system. You can have a not-for-profit healthcare system like we had in the United States in the 1950s and 60s when I was growing up, and for many years before that, where hospitals were publicly owned and had to be nonprofit corporations, where insurance companies, health insurance companies, Blue Cross Blue Shield, the most widely known, had to be nonprofits. Kaiser was originally a nonprofit, where the concept was that if you're going to be delivering healthcare, or if you're going to be managing the delivery of healthcare in the form of a hospital or an insurance company, you have to be a not-for-profit. And there are certain benefits to that. You know, you don't pay taxes and things, and you get to use these volunteers and things, and you get the candy striper ladies or whatever it was called at the hospital who volunteered for the hospital and things like that. But the biggest benefit is that nobody is making money on health care, and therefore the health care is being delivered at a reasonable price. The profit motive is not the first motive. The first motive is to get people well or prevent them from getting sick in the first place. And then Reagan changed all that. And Reagan said, we've got to start privatizing this thing. Do away with these laws. And as a consequence of our for-profit industry now, we have an industry that's so out of whack. I mean, this is from today's Wall Street Journal. David Armstrong wrote this piece. The headline, Aspirin Dispute is Fueled by Funds of Industry Rivals. What this is about is that this guy has come out with this theory that there's this thing called aspirin resistance. You know, they know that if you take that for most people, particularly men, if they take 80 milligrams of aspirin a day, a baby aspirin, or a quarter of a regular aspirin, then they're about 25% less likely to end up with a heart attack or stroke, right? If they're of a certain age, I think it's over 50, something like that. And Harvard's medical school, you know, came out with this. This is as many as 30 million of the 25 million Americans. Who are taking aspirin for their hearts. Daniel Simon, could be resistant to aspirin. Right? He wrote this in Physicians Weekly, a trade magazine for docs. And so a lot of doctors are going, whoa, you mean a quarter of people who are taking, or a third of people who are taking aspirin may actually have some kind of weird aspirin resistance? We better give them Plavix. Or some other drug. Well, it turns out, and these other drugs, by the way, can cost up to $4 a day, whereas the aspirin might cost you, what, 5 cents a day? Turns out the article didn't mention that Dr. Simon receives, I'm quoting now from the Wall Street Journal, David Armstrong's article, the article didn't mention that Dr. Simon receives research funding from Acumetrics, Inc., a privately held San Diego company that makes a test to measure aspirin resistance, and from pharmaceutical makers Schering Plough Corp., which sells a drug being tested as a potential benefit for patients deemed aspirin resistant. He's also a consultant and a paid speaker for Schering Plough. They go on to note, the Wall Street Journal, fears of aspirin resistance have boosted sales of the anti-clotting pill Plavix, the world's second best-selling drug. Even some doctors who are trying to debunk aspirin resistance have financial ties. To whom? To Bayer, the manufacturer of aspirin. So you've got both sides. You got one side saying, no such thing as aspirin resistance. By the way, we work for Bayer. And the other side saying, oh, yeah, aspirin resistance, a big problem. Hooked up with Schering Plough. And it's like, as Sanjay Kaul, the director of cardiology training at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles, says, he says, before Plavix, we rarely heard a mention of aspirin resistance. One has to wonder if the commercial implications of this phenomena trump scientific reality. By the way, he doesn't test patients for aspirin resistance and accepts no industry funding for his consulting work. This guy. It's like, this is what happens when you have a for-profit healthcare system. Here's another one. This is from the Washington Post last Thursday. An article by Shankar Vetantam. Every psychiatric expert involved in writing the standard diagnostic criteria for disorders such as depression and schizophrenia has had financial ties to drug companies that sell medications for those illnesses, a new analysis has found. Lisa Cosgrove, clinical psychologist at the University of Massachusetts in Boston, publishing her analysis in the peer-reviewed journal Psychotherapy and Psychosomatics, says, I don't think the public is aware of how egregious the financial ties are in the field of psychiatry. This is mind-boggling. The FDA, slow to see danger. This from the LA Times, Washington Post News Service. The Food and Drug Administration is sometimes slow to pick up safety problems once drugs are on the market and responding to emerging danger signals, a federal study pointed out. Its system for collecting reports on adverse events is a voluntary one that does not require doctors to report drug-related problems they encounter. Experts estimate that only about 10% are reported. In other words, if you're giving drugs to people, they die, you don't have to report it. Why? Well, because the drug company's got laws passed saying you don't have to report it. They don't want to know about it. It's mind-boggling. Yes, healthcare for profit. It works really well. 27 minutes past the hour. I'm Tom Hartman.
This is Leonid Raskin. I'm the president and founder of the Organic Wine Company. What happened when you, Thomas, gave us a plug, the phone started ringing. The first person said, whatever it is that you're selling, I want to buy it. And for the next few hours, the phone rang nonstop. The people who listen to your program are what they call in the business my target audience, people who are conscious and responsible and try to do the right thing and try to think for themselves. I would encourage anyone to advertise on the Thomas Hartman Show absolutely without question. Whether that be on the national level or the local level, and you will absolutely get results. The way you can learn more about our imported organically grown wines from France is by calling us. The phone number is 1-888-ECO-WINE, or you can visit our site at www.ecowine.com.
Welcome back to Inside DC. I am Kim Davis, and we're talking politics with James on his car phone.
Kim, I just missed a right turn back there. Now, can I take a right at this light?
Well, I have been accused of leaning to the right.
To easily get back on track when you miss a turn, you want to ask TomTom, not Kim.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Grab it and go. Just tap the screen, and a helpful voice guides you where you're going.
You have reached your destination.
TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way. Learn more at TomTom.com.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. 40 million Americans suffer from allergies, 17 million from asthma, 37 million from sinus infections. Here's the thought. Change the air you breathe. An Orrick Professional Air Purifier completely renews the air in an average-sized room every 10 minutes. Try it free for 90 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. That's 1-800-989-4200.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. The United Steelworkers Union is condemning the use of hundreds of Mexican police in an attack on striking workers at a major steel plant that killed four union workers. USW spokesman Jim McKay.
Leo Girard, the president of the union, has called the Fox administration's actions murderous and one of the most heinous in all of Latin America.
The strikers joined thousands of other workers who went on strike across Mexico in support of Napoleon Gomez, a labor leader removed from office by the Mexican government. Gomez was ousted after questioning how the government handled a mining disaster that killed 65 workers. He had called for an investigation into the disaster. The steelworkers are working in unison with the Mexican Union.
The Mexican Union, of which we're a partner, has defended the strike as legitimate and has called for an investigation.
Mexican police killed the workers at the Zacarza steelmaking complex in western Mexico. The first post-Katrina election in New Orleans results in a runoff election in May to elect a city government.
Incumbent Mayor Ray Nagin finished first yesterday with a comfortable 9-point lead on Mitch Landrieu, but far short of the 50% needed to win the race outright. Nagin reacted to his success with humor.
I stand here before you, a humble man, someone who never thought that I would have this kind of support after some of the crazy things I've said.
Criminal Sheriff Marlon Guzman won re-election easily, despite a scandal over his failure to evacuate New Orleans Parish Prison during last fall's flooding. The composition of New Orleans City Hall remains unknown, with 4 seats out of 7 to be decided in the May 20th runoff. Roughly 150 poll monitors were mobilized yesterday by nonpartisan groups, including the NAACP, Throughout the coming week, elections officials will continue to count some of the 16,000 absentee ballots that were mailed out, but they are unlikely to change the outcome of most races. For Workers Independent News, Christian Roseland, New Orleans.
The International Longshore and Warehouse Union says a new federal security ID program that may be unveiled as soon as this week could cost thousands of port workers their jobs and disrupt the flow of goods into the U.S. The Transportation Workers Identification Credential Program might bar undocumented workers and convicted felons. Details of the program, though, are still being ironed out.
Here's the Rin Economic Report. Is General Motors shrinking or growing? Daewoo, the GM South Korean affiliate, has rehired 1,700 workers it laid off in 2001 and will serve as a base for GM to expand in South Asian markets. The South Korean firm will develop the basic components that GM will use to produce many small vehicles around the world. In 2005, GM sold more cars abroad than it did in North America. While GM workers in the U.S. see their numbers shrink, the automaker is growing its workforce elsewhere.
You've been listening to WIND, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
The people who provide Care One Credit Counseling Services know how to help you get out of debt and get on with your life. So call now, 800-297-3019. That's 800-297-3019. We can help you stop the collection calls, pay off your debt sooner, and save up to 57% every month.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
Call for licensing details. Get out of debt and get on with your life. Gather up your bills and talk to the people who can help, to the people who care. Call Care One Credit Counseling now. 800-297-3019. 800-297-3019. That's 800-297-3019.
Bringing democracy to the United States of America, here's Tom Hartman.
Welcome back, my friends, to the Tom Hartman Radio Program, where despair is not an option. Get active. Our program brought to you today by Small Dog Electronics, 1-800-511-MAX, 1-800-511-MACS, smalldog.com. You can get the latest iPods and all things Macintosh. And the Organic Wine Company, 1-888-ECO-WINE, E-C-O-W-I-N-E, 1-888-ECO-WINE, or ecowine.com on the web. Our telephone number, 866-440-8466. If you want to drop into our live chat room, TomHartman.com will get you there. A lot in the news today, which we're going to be getting to, the never-ending emergency. Why is it that Bush is appropriating money continually off budget, out of the budget? Condi Rice leaking information. She's now been subpoenaed to appear in court. We'll get into that. The 60 Minutes over the weekend talking about how the CIA spy, the CIA officer who was in charge of Europe in 2002, the head CIA guy in Europe, says the Bushies knew 6 months before the invasion of Iraq that there were no weapons of mass destruction there. And they knew it from a source that will just boggle your mind. We'll get to all that stuff in the second and third hour of the program as we continue, but I do want to wrap this thing up with health care, and I know a number of you have called and have thoughts on this. Just some very quick numbers. The number of Americans without health insurance, 45 million. It's increased 10 million since 1990. 10 million children lacking health insurance. The percentage of people in the ages of 18 to 24 lack health insurance, 29%. The percentage of the uninsured who work or belong to a working family, 66% of the uninsured are working. Half of all bankruptcies are caused by people not having by medical bills, whether people are insured or not. We've seen a 360% increase in bankruptcies from 1980 to today.
from when Reagan came into office until today, the increase in bankruptcies up 360%. And the increase in medical bankruptcies between Reagan's coming into office and today, 2,200%. The percent of those people who had to declare bankruptcy because they were had medical emergencies and they couldn't afford to pay for them, who were insured when they became ill, 75%, 75.7%. 90% of that happened to people who identified themselves as being in the middle class. It's over the top. It's just over the top. American workers, on average, are paying over $11,000 a year for health insurance. Between what they're paying in premiums, what their employer is paying in premiums, which they could have gotten as a paycheck instead, and what they're paying in copays. Over $11,000 a person. And yet most countries in the world, France, Germany, England, most countries in the world are able to, Australia, are able to deliver health care for less than $6,000 per person. Canada, for less than $6,000, about half of what we're paying right now. Now, the cons will tell you that there are not positive rights built into the Constitution, only negative rights, and, you know, the right to be protected from the government hassling us. As I pointed out in my discussion with Michael, I see those as positive rights as well. And they say there's no right to health care in the Constitution. I agree. Although you could argue that the preamble to the Constitution, which talks about the providing for the general welfare, well, you know, I'm sorry, if you're sick, you're not well, would cover this. But I'm not suggesting that, like, we need a constitutional amendment saying this is a right. I'm suggesting that health care in the United States should be viewed in the same way. I call it a sloppy right. Right? There isn't anything in the Constitution, and there's not even a federal law, to the best of my knowledge, that says that education is a right, although the Supreme Court has ruled that it is, that you can't prevent, for example, one group, historically African Americans. I mean, this is what Brown versus Board of Education was all about in 1954. You can't prevent one group from having access to it because it's a right. So, you know, we have this kind of sloppy right of education, not a pure right, but nonetheless, we view it as a right. This kind of, you know, sloppy right to unemployment insurance. I mean, there's a lot of things that, Social Security, a lot of things that we view as rights, and in my opinion, health care should be in there. And we already have a national single-payer health care system, and it works very well, thank you very much. It's called Medicare. And all we have to do is expand it to cover everybody. And yes, there are quite a few billionaires like Bill Frist and his daddy who would suddenly see a loss of their income, but they've got their billions already. They can live on that just fine. Thank you very much for the rest of their lives. Stephen in Atlanta, Georgia. Hey, Stephen, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Tom. Last week you were talking about how the insurance companies have such a monopoly that they can limit the availability of doctors in any given area.
Yes.
And that lack of supply will cause you 4 to 5 to 6 week delays in your appointments and doctor
visits. Right, so you're less likely to use the doctor, so the cost for the health insurance company goes down.
Yeah, and a lot of people get better in the meantime, so they don't even have to treat you.
That's right. Yeah, the old joke the doctors tell about, you know, you'll be better in a week if you take this pill, and you'll be better in 7 days if you don't.
Exactly. Well, I don't even have insurance or anything, but I was telling a friend of mine, she used to be a nurse, and she does have insurance. I was telling her all about that, and she said, well, that's why I go and I call my doctor and reset an appointment every single month, just in case I get sick. So she's constantly, that's what it's come to, she constantly has a floating doctor appointment going so that it will hopefully cut down on her wait time if she does get sick. And then
that's interesting. I'll bet a lot of people do that and doctors are blowing back on that, because when I moved to Portland, I needed to make an appointment to have, you know, like a new doctor, right? Because I moved here a year ago this month. And I called, made an appointment. Actually, my wife Louise made it for me. When the day of the appointment came, or about 4 days before the appointment actually came, something came up here at the radio station, and I couldn't get out, and so I had to cancel it. And so we rolled it over. I canceled the second one, and I canceled the third one. There was three in a row that things came up, and I just couldn't do it. And when we tried to set up a fourth one, they said, "No, you've been fired. This doctor won't see you." So I don't have a doctor right now. You know, it's like I haven't seen a doctor in a year. And, you know, not that I feel any great need to, but I just thought, you know, hey, I should have an annual check. It's been probably 4 or 5 years since I saw a doctor. Anyway,
yeah.
So, yeah, you're right, Stephen. It's very bizarre. I got to move along. Thanks for the call and the tip, though. That's an interesting one. Daniel in Hayes, Kansas. Hey, Daniel, what's up?
Hi, Tom. I'm just wanting to call and make a comment on, you know, the medical system, the way it's going. Matt Blunt, the governor of the state of Missouri, has really turned the healthcare system around. Where I got a I got to take time out of my own work schedule to move my mother to where she can get her health care, because Matt Blunt, the governor of the state of Missouri, has taken the medical system and turned it upside down, because my mother now cannot get any kind of medical benefits whatsoever, because she's 64 years old and she works every day. And she cannot get her allergy medications whatsoever,
right?
Because Matt Blunt has canceled that all out of all for all senior citizens.
Sure. Well, he's a Republican. I mean, that's what the conservative. This is what the conservatives want: is if you're rich, you have health care, and if you're not, die.
Right. And I just like to say, Don, I'm not really smart on all this, on all this or anything, but I just wanted to comment on how the Republicans are really, really making a mockery of this whole country.
Yeah.
And heck with George Bush and this whole party. They're not worth it. I tell you, it's really, really frustrating.
Well said, Daniel. And I think America is waking up to it. I appreciate the call. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Tom.
Good to hear from you. Bye now. Pat in Augusta, Georgia. Hey, Pat.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Tom.
Sure.
I heard you say right to live and tied in with the whole expectation of government and health care, and I wanted to challenge you on that, because I don't think it's the government's job to take care of its citizens health-wise.
Why not?
Because that is, it doesn't work. It never has worked.
There's 37 fully industrialized democracies in the world. 36 of them have national health care systems. We're the only one that doesn't. I would submit to you that the evidence is 36-1 that it does work.
Yes, well, the one happens to be the greatest healthcare system in the world.
By what criteria?
We develop all the technology. We have the best medicine.
No, not true. You go into any hospital, Pat, and look at the manufacturers of a lot of that equipment, and you're going to find probably, I would guess, at least half of the equipment in any hospital is manufactured in Germany.
Right, but what I'm trying to say is
we don't create the best technology. We have the most expensive healthcare system in the world. We don't have the best healthcare system in the world. And
well,
and the proof of it, I lived 2 hours from the Canadian border for the better part of 10 years in Vermont. Now I'm a little farther from the Canadian border here in Portland. And Canadians were not coming to the United States for surgery or for anything else. But we were every single Friday in downtown Montpelier, the bus would line up and people would get on it to go up to Canada to get healthcare.
American citizens?
American citizens. Elderly people going up to get pharmaceuticals. Yes.
Right, to buy drugs.
Right.
And
that's part of the healthcare system.
I agree with you that drugs are cheaper in Canada than they are here. That is true. But you also do have plenty of Canadians waiting in line for serious healthcare
who do come to
the United States.
Not true. There are, you know, again, we had Louis Melmadrone on this program last week. He's a professor of medicine in Canada. If you have a serious medical condition in Canada, you are seen the next day. You only have to wait if you want elective surgery. You want a nose job or liposuction, it may take 6 months or a year.
Right. Well,
But if you show up with appendicitis, they're going to see you in an hour.
Right.
I'm telling you, this is a simple fact of the matter. I mean, you know, we you say America, our government shouldn't be protecting us. I think we've all kind of bought into the idea that our government should be protecting us. It's why we have an army. It's why we have police departments. It's why we have fire departments. We want to be protected against predators. We want to be protected against fire. We want to be protected against foreign enemies. And I would say we want to be protected against cancer.
Right. Well, it's not.
But you disagree.
To protect us from ourselves.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, Pat. I don't think that if somebody gets cancer, it's their own fault. I mean, you could argue that somebody's smoking, but 45 minutes past the hour.
Country singers Bruce Robeson and Kelly Willis.
We had a gig in half an hour.
But with my allergies, I wasn't all there. I just couldn't sing.
I told her, you need Claritin D.
So I got Claritin Clear. Claritin D relieved my worst symptoms, even congestion and sinus pressure, fast. And I wasn't drowsy.
Told you, nothing works stronger, faster, or longer.
Find Claritin D on shelf or at the pharmacy counter. Use as directed among non-drowsy oral 24-hour OTC allergy products.
Live Claritin Clear.
Book book your next flight or vacation package on Priceline, and you could win one of five ultimate upgrades. A luxurious trip for you and your friends in your own private jet provided by One Sky Network, plus limo service and $5,000 in cash. Hurry, it's only for a limited time and only on Priceline. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends May 8th. For full details, visit Priceline.com.
Climate change is broadening the impact of certain diseases, and that could affect the health of wildlife and people. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. More than 100 frog species have gone extinct in Central and South America since 1980, many of them killed off by chytrid fungus disease. A recent study found that rising temperatures enabled the fungus to thrive, suggesting that climate change led to the frog's demise. Princeton University ecologist Andy Dobson says other wild animals are feeling the effects of global warming. He says populations of Arctic muskoxen and caribou are also declining due to rising temperatures. Dobson says warmer conditions allow parasitic worms to take a greater toll on these animals. As a result of the increased stress, they give birth to fewer young. Dobson says humans are also at risk of more diseases as the world warms. Africa provides an example.
The conditions have gotten much, much better for the abundance of mosquitoes that transmit malaria, suggesting that the increases in malaria that we've been seeing throughout the highland areas of East Africa may well be due to climate change. And that's very worrying because it's a disease that has a huge impact on humans in that area.
Dobson says the National Institutes of Health, the National Science Foundation, and other agencies need more money to study the connection between disease and climate change.
I would like to see much more funding for both NIH and perhaps NSF and some of the other environmental agencies to look at disease problems, because infectious disease and climate will probably be a much bigger threat to humans than many of the other things that are perceived to be threats at the present time.
Dobson says emerging diseases will become an issue of increasing importance as global warming accelerates. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
If you're a diabetic, you'll want to listen to this message from the Diabetes Line. If you call us today, you may be able to get your testing supplies delivered right to your door with no out-of-pocket costs. We have all the supplies you'll ever need, and getting those diabetic testing supplies delivered right to your door is as easy as calling this number. 800-365-7254, 800-365-7254. If you have Medicare or private insurance, you might be able to get those diabetic testing supplies delivered right to your home with no out-of-pocket costs. We even file all the claim forms so you never have to wait for those reimbursement checks. If you're a diabetic and you want testing supplies delivered right to your door, call the Diabetes Line 24 hours a day. 800-365-7254, 800-365-7254, 800-365-7254.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
I am the egghead. I'm the commander. I'm the decider. Cuckoo, choo.
I'm the decider, and I decide what is best, and what's best is for Don Rumsfeld to remain as the Secretary of Defense.
Sitting in a White House garden, talking to the Lord. Well, my thoughts would be busy, busy hatching if I only had a brain.
I am the egghead. I'm the commander. I'm the decider. Cuckoo, choo, 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 choo.
That's how I listen to all voices. Rise and final decision. And Don Rumsfeld is doing a fine job. He's not only transforming the military, he's fighting a war on terror. He's helping us fight.
And welcome back to the place where reason is our lifestyle choice. 51 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman with you, 866-440-8466. Carrie in Williamsburg, Virginia. Hey, Carrie.
Yes.
What's up?
I'm calling because I just listened to your last caller and his supposed argument that, you know, we have the best health care in the world. My husband and I have been trying to get pregnant for 4 years. My husband's a truck driver. He talks to truck drivers all over the United States and in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And just for us to even attempt to do in vitro fertilization, between the doctor's visits, the drugs I have to take, and everything else, the tests, it's over $15,000. The health insurance doesn't pay for any of it. And he talked to a truck driver who was having the same problem with he and his wife. They only had to wait a year. They got to have in vitro fertilization, and the maximum out-of-pocket he had to pay was $2,500. The Canadian government health plan paid for everything else.
Right. Yeah, and then the same is true all around the world. Carrie, thank you for that anecdote.
Thank you.
Good to hear from you. Henry in Osceola, Arkansas. Hey, Henry.
Yeah, how you doing today?
I'm great, but I'll get better. What's up, Henry?
I just want to call a reference to the caller talking about it's not a right to have health care system. You know, he's right about one thing. It's not a right, but it's only the human thing. It's the right thing to do to provide health care for each and every individual.
Well,
we have deaths in this country every single year because people can't go to the doctor and get cured early because they don't have the money to afford the visit. I go see a doctor, I have to pay out of my pocket $150 every time I see him, and I see the guy for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Then, right? And then for your other caller, I lived in 18 countries throughout the world in my whole life. My dad was military, and I was military, and I got to see a lot of things. And I'm going to tell that young man one thing more than anything else. Don't believe we live in the best health care system in the world, because that isn't true. I have dual citizenship as a German and American.
Mm-hmm.
And then turn around. If I was in Germany, I'd go to any hospital at any given time and get taken care of.
I lived there a year. In fact, I did that. You know, one day when I was living in Germany, I had chest pains, and I thought, geez, I wonder what this is. And I showed up at the hospital, and they said, you got no problem, you know. But, you know, to make a long story short, but bang, I'm right in. I mean, you know, it's a, you know, one of our kids had, I mean, yeah, it's, we use the healthcare system without going through all the details. We use the healthcare system in Germany, and it works really well, and it's free. It's a single payer system. Henry, I got to move along, but you made a very good point. Thank you so much. Good articulate statement. Alan in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Hey, Alan, what's on your mind?
Yes, I was debating with another trucker about socialized medicine.
Yes, sir.
And about the time that I convinced him that it would not lead to communism, then he comes back at me and says that those countries with socialized medicine have 60% taxes.
Right.
That cannot be true, could it?
Well, I think in Sweden the taxes are a little over 50% on average. Now, what that means is that, you know, a working person is probably making around 40-45%, a really rich person is, you know, paying, rather, and a really rich person is paying 80-90%. But the bigger question, Alan, is right now, if you have health insurance, you are paying, on average across the United States, over $11,000 a year for health care. That's roughly $1,000 a month. If your taxes went up by, say, $700 a month, because, you know, a third of that is going to for profits so that this guy who's the chairman of second biggest healthcare company in America can get a $1.6 billion paycheck. If you paid an extra $500 a month in profit rather than $1,000 a month in healthcare, you know, what's the difference? You're saving money. So you're paying it in taxes instead of paying it in health insurance premiums. It's still, you know, it's still coming out of your pocket, but it's more efficient this way.
Yeah, I imagine it'd be better off for people who do not have jobs either, too.
Well, and ultimately, you and I are paying for those people as well with our system. And everybody else in the world simply recognizes that. And the problem is that people who don't have jobs and don't have insurance, not only are we paying for their health care, because if they get sick, they go to a hospital and they get seen, but we're also paying for a more expensive version of it because they wait until they're deathly sick before they show up at the emergency room. And if they had health insurance like Canada does or Germany or France or any other country, when they just have a symptom, they could show up, get things diagnosed early, and not end up with these $250,000 bills because they're at stage 4 cancer instead of stage 1. Alan, thanks a lot for the call. I got to move along. Janice in Pittsburgh. Hey, Janice, we have about a minute left. What's up?
Okay, I'll make it quick. Have you read the book Overdosed America?
I have it. I have not read it. I've looked through
it.
I had the author on about a year ago when it came out.
Really? Well, I just picked it up on a whim, and I'm reading it, and it's a great book.
Is that Sidney Wolfe's book, by the way?
It's John Abramson.
John Abramson. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, it's a great book. I mean, I suggest anybody read it.
Yeah.
Everybody read it.
I agree.
Janice, okay. Have a good day.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Good to hear from you. Lee in Houston. Maybe we got a couple of seconds left here. Lee, quick comment.
Hey, Tom. Yeah, I'm in the medical device industry. I was going to expound on that, but I don't think we have time. I saw something this week in the paper that says the FDA just said that medical marijuana that has zero, that helps people out, absolutely zero.
Actually, what they said was all of the studies that they considered serious studies, in quotes, concluded that medical marijuana was useless. Any
right,
study
right.
that concluded marijuana had value, they didn't consider to be a serious study.
Yeah, I was just going to say that it just shows that the FDA is more in cahoots with the AMA than anything. You know what I'm saying?
Well, not just the AMA, also the right-wingers of the Bush administration.
Exactly.
And the private prison industry that's making out like bandits from the criminalization of pot and other drugs.
That's exactly right. But think about all the money that would be going to the wouldn't be going to the pharmaceutical companies if that was made into medicine. You know what I'm saying?
I agree. I agree. I agree with you, Lee. Absolutely. Well said. And thank you very much for the call and for keeping it quick as the music starts. It's the Tom
Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com.
Maybe you see people listening to their iPods, white earbuds dangling from their ears, and maybe you don't have an iPod yet because you don't see yourself as that type of person. So are you the type that has a CD player or a six-disc changer in your car? Heck with that. Don't limit yourself. Enjoy your entire CD collection anytime, all smushed into a tiny little iPod. Your iPod is your personal portable jukebox. Plug your iPod into your car stereo or home stereo and take it with you when you travel. No matter where you go, your music collection goes with you. iPods are easy to use and easy to import your music from your CD collection. Talk to us about this if you need help. iPod is your personal portable jukebox. Oh, it's a beautiful thing enjoying today's technologies. This is Dawn from Small Dog Electronics, New England's largest Apple specialist. Come see us in our Small Dog showroom in Waitsfield, Vermont, or on the web at smalldog.com. Small Dog, where you'll find high technology for low prices.
Hey, that's a great idea. You could really cash in.
I hope. I've been working on it for years.
Have you got a patent on it?
Not yet. I don't know what to do. I don't know what I need.
Just call Inventec. They can help you protect and market your idea. They've been doing it for inventors for over 10 years. It's easy.
Inventec? That's exactly what I need.
Then call 1-800-319-1818.
Slow down.
That's 1-800-319-1818. And they'll even send you a free inventor's kit and DVD with your confidential submission.
How do you know this?
I called him myself. I have a really good idea of my own, and thanks to Inventec, no one's going to cash in but me. They're going to help me get my invention off the drawing board and into the marketplace.
I really need Inventec. What's that number again?
1-800-319-1818.
One more time?
Call 1-800-319-1818. That's 1-800-319-1818.
Air America Radio News, I'm Mark Shearer. Ken Lay takes the stand in Houston. The founder of Enron is trying to build on former CEO Jeffrey Skilling's testimony that Enron wasn't riddled with fraud. Both men deny they broke the law. And right off the bat, his lawyer asked Lay if he conspired to violate federal securities rules or broke wire fraud and securities fraud laws. And Lay replied, "I did not." He has depicted himself as a desperate leader trying to save Enron in the months before its collapse in December 2001, in which investors lost billions of dollars. Closing arguments in Alexandria, Virginia, in the death penalty phase of the trial of Zacharias Moussaoui. A federal prosecutor seeking the death penalty for him says it's time to put an end to his hatred and venom. The prosecutor saying there's no place on this good earth for the 9/11 conspirator. His lawyer, Moussaoui's lawyer, then pleaded with the jurors to send his client to prison for life. He called it the long, slow death of a common criminal, rather than give him martyrdom. The jury is expected to get the case this afternoon. It has only two choices, death or life in prison. The latest audio tape reportedly from Osama bin Laden is an attempt by the al-Qaeda leader to remain relevant. That's the opinion of FBI spokesperson John Miller.
By issuing these tapes, he's trying to inspire people like the London bombers, like the Madrid bombers, to move forward in his stead.
Miller, appearing on CBS's The Early Show, he's a former ABC correspondent who interviewed bin Laden in 1998. Al Jazeera aired the tape in which bin Laden issues new threats. He also accuses the U.S. and Europe of supporting a Zionist war on Islam. Another terrorism expert, MJ Gohel, says it's intriguing that bin Laden's only been releasing audio tapes lately.
We haven't heard from bin Laden on a video message since before the U.S. presidential election. So it's interesting that he's not showing his face.
Gohel is an analyst with the Asia-Pacific Foundation. In Iraq, 7 car bombs exploded across the capital Monday, killing at least 6 people and wounding dozens. And Phil Walden, the Capricorn Records founder who launched the careers of Otis Redding and the Allman Brothers Band, has died after a long battle with cancer. He was 66 years old. Capricorn Records, based in Macon, Georgia, was influential in creating the southern rock sound of the 1970s. I'm Mark Shearer, Air America Radio News.
News sponsored in part by Blue Blocker Sunglasses. Get Blue Blockers at your local Rite Aid drugstore. See clearer, farther, and protect your eyes with solid UV protection. Blue blockers available at all Rite Aids in many new cool styles.
Hello and welcome back to Ask the Orkin Man.
Hey, Orkin Man. I think termites are destroying my kid's wood swing set.
Oh, that's not good. What makes you think it's termites?
I don't know. The swings are lower.
But are you sure your kids aren't just taller?
Even the baby's got skin knees.
Oh.
No, my house could be next.
Could be. Those little foragers can travel over 100 feet.
It's only 30 to the house.
Don't worry. One of our experts can treat these and help prevent more in the future.
Thanks, Orkin Guy.
Man. For a free inspection, just call
1-800-ORKINMAN.
You can save thousands of dollars in closing costs when you refinance your home with Ditech.com. Listen to what Maria from Brooklyn, New York says.
We refinanced twice with Ditech, and the first time we consolidated some loans that we had and we did the bathroom. The second time we refinanced, we went to an even lower interest rate to reduce the monthly payment. Other mortgage lenders kept coming in with higher closing fees. They were concealing things, and there was a $10,000 closing fee. I had a horror. There was no way I was paying $10,000 closing.
Get a flat fee home loan with a total lender fee of only $395.
Call Ditech.com. 1-800-868-2957. 1-800-868-2957. Ditech.com. 1-800-868-2957. Ditech.com. 3200 Park Center Drive, Costa Mesa, California, 92626. Subject to underwriting approval. For terms, disclosures, and flat fee details, call 1-800-868-2957. Equal housing opportunity.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to help solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-661-0491.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. They don't go away on their own. The IRS can attach your wages, your pension, your savings, even your Social Security checks. If you owe back taxes, don't despair. Since 1997, our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-661-0491 now. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-661-0491. That's 800-661-0491.
Attention! If you do not have health insurance, have limited health insurance, or are uninsurable and are worried about the cost of health care, this announcement is for you. For less than $2 a day, your entire family can save thousands of dollars on all medical expenses thanks to Synergy Health. With more than 600,000 providers around the country, Synergy Health can save you up to 60% on doctors, hospitals, hearing, vision, prescriptions, and even dental care. Plus, you'll get great savings on chiropractic, alternate medicine, and much more. And here's the best part. Synergy Health offers guaranteed acceptance to everyone, no matter what your health history or income, at the same low price. Call our 800 number and learn how Synergy Health is helping families like yours for less than $2 a day. There is no obligation, and the information is free.
Call 1-800-933-2596 for free information. That's 1-800-933-2596. There's absolutely no obligation.
The man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, my friends, to our program. 6 minutes past the hour, the Tom Hartman Radio Show. Michael Continetti is with us, a young American conservative who is writing the shocking political story that reads like best true crime. He is also a writer for the Weekly Standard, weeklystandard.com. Matthew, did I call you Michael again, Matthew?
I think you did.
Oh, geez. I don't know why I keep doing that. I must have known somebody named Michael Continetti or something close to it at one point in my life. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Michael is the author of a new book called The K Street Gang, The Rise and Fall of the... Matthew is the author of the new book, The K Street Gang, The Rise and Fall of the Republican Machine. And, Matthew, one of the interesting passages in this book is where you talk about the motivations of Grover Norquist. You suggest that he's not just a conservative and he's not just a partisan Republican, that he may also have the agenda of making bucks. First of all, can you flesh that out a little bit for us?
Well, Grover Norquist is the president of Americans for Tax Reform, which is an organization here in Washington which lobbies for lower tax rates and for lower taxes and a smaller government. And they've been pretty successful in lobbying for lower taxes, but nowhere near as successful in the Department of Government because government continues to grow. And Norquist is a diehard libertarian, and but he has also lobbied. For some time he had a lobbying firm of his own, and in fact his partner in that lobbying venture, David Safavian, is now awaiting trial in connection to the Jack Abramoff investigation.
And you, but you're referencing in here Rock the House, a collection of his columns. And you say this gives some insight into his thinking.
Sure. Well, Norquist was also the architect of the K Street Project, which was an attempt to steer the lobbying industry in a Republican direction. And so he came up with an idea of a shakeout. And the shakeout was to kind of shake all the Democratic lobbyists, because traditionally lobbying has been a Democratic profession. He wanted to shake all of those Democrats out of the industry and create a Republican lobbying industry in its place. He thought that this would kind of build the foundation for a long-lasting Republican majority.
And has it?
Well, not so sure. I mean, we'll have to wait to the midterm elections to find out. Because I think now that the Republicans see the fruits of all of this machine politics that they engaged in starting after the 1994 Republican Revolution, and so they began to reward their friends and punish their enemies just like any other machine, and now they're facing a pretty rocky future if current events are any indication.
Yeah, it's Tammany Hall is back. We're talking with Matthew Continetti, the author of The K Street Gang, The Rise and Fall of the Republican Machine. Matthew, I'm wondering if in writing this book, well, actually, let me go back to Grover Norquist for a moment. You don't really take on in the book the fact that Norquist has never actually lobbied for lower taxes. He has, all of his lobbying efforts have ended up producing higher taxes. It's just that those taxes are not being paid by the millionaires and billionaires who are his primary constituents, or even, you know, people, the upper middle class in America, who he would claim are his primary constituents. They're going to be paid for by our children and our grandchildren, because by deferring taxes into the future, which is what Norquist has advocated, essentially, it's been the consequence of it. What we're doing is we will be paying not only taxes, but taxes plus interest. Why don't you get into that?
Well, I mean, the K Street Gang, mainly, like you say, it's almost done as a true crime novel. I get into some policy debates toward the end of the book, but I try to be a journalist first, even though I am, as you mentioned, a political conservative. Now, Norquist, I mean, I guess he would respond by saying that the deficit isn't his concern, which, of course, it is the concern of many Americans. But, of course, his whole theory, Mr. Norquist's theory of starving the beast, which is what he thinks government is, he thinks it's a beast that needs to be starved, is that by devoting more and more of the federal budget to debt payment, you kind of squeeze the other parts of it, which could be used for any number of programs, including defense. So, I mean, this is interesting because, as you kind of point out, basically those debt payments are income transfers from taxpayers to basically bond traders, not all of whom live in the United States.
Right. In fact, about half of our debt is held by foreign.
Correct. America. So that is an income transfer from American taxpayers to foreign investors.
Primarily Japanese, Chinese, Germans, Saudis, and British. Interesting. I'm curious, Matthew Continetti, when you wrote the K Street Gang, The Rise and Fall of the Republican Machine, if it shook up your political worldview.
I think it made me kind of open my eyes to what goes on in Washington every day. You know, I think many of us are attracted to politics because we're interested in ideas. And we're also attracted to these great political actors who take up the stages and who are able to convince hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of Americans to place their trust in them. But beyond, underneath that culture is another culture. It's an insider culture. It's a lobbying culture. It's a culture of think tanks, pencil and paper pushers who come to Washington trying to change the world, but more often than not just stay and live off its excretions. And that's what I write about in the K Street Gang. I wasn't, I don't think I was as aware of that when I began writing this book as I am now.
In your book, you wrap up the book with a chapter about basically how this whole thing is imploding. But unless I'm, and I confess my reading of it has not been word for word, page by page, but unless I'm wrong, you're not offering specific solutions. This is not a prescriptive book. This is a historic text. Is that an accurate
characterization? That's what I aimed for. Yeah, that's
what,
right.
What would, you know, setting aside your role as historian or as journalist here in writing the K Street Gang, Matthew Continetti, I'm wondering, what do you think we should do about this very real problem that we have of 60,000 lobbyists and only 535 legislators in Washington, D.C.?
It is a troubling issue. Now, I mean, the question is, why has this culture of lobbying been created? And I think, strangely enough, it's because of some of the reforms, quote-unquote, that were put into place after the Watergate scandal. You see, one of the things, the functions that lobbyists play in Washington is by connecting politicians, typically incumbents, but also other challenging candidates, with big donors. And so one of Jack Abramoff's, the ex-lobbyist who pleaded to numerous crimes earlier this year, who's the central character, you might say, of the K Street Gang, Abramoff was very critical to many politicians, including President Bush, because he was able to bundle large sums of money. That is, he was able to go to his clients and say, you know what, each of you, since you can only contribute a few thousand dollars to these campaigns, I'm going to get 100 of you to contribute, you know, 2,000 each, and there you go. You got,
right.
I'm not very good at math, but I think you got $20,000.
Yeah. Or you'd have
$200,000.
Oh, 20,000, right. Yeah, 100, yeah. But in any case, yeah, I agree. But wouldn't the more conservative thing to do be what Margaret Thatcher was a great champion of in the United Kingdom, which is to say, either you're going to have public financing of elections, and there is that to a small extent in the United Kingdom, particularly to the extent that the media, the government media, the BBC and its local affiliates are required to cover politicians, and that there is an absolute spending cap, that no politician in the United Kingdom can spend more than £100,000 on a race for the House of Commons, period, and that if somebody decides to spend an ad of money on an ad that even indirectly might help your candidacy, that's considered part of your £100,000. Doesn't this seem like the most common sense and conservative solution that would get money out of this whole process, and it might actually allow government to shrink because there wouldn't be vested interests trying to bloat it continuously?
Well, it may be time to have a debate about public financing. I mean, the problem here is that since the judiciary is so powerful in the United States, the Supreme Court has a long-standing tradition of saying that political donations are the equivalent of free speech. And, of course, they've been monkeying around with getting money out of politics for about 20 years. The latest attempt, McCain-Feingold, of course, produced new vehicles for money in politics, 527s. And now, of course, we see the Republicans using the scandal for a partisan opportunity and trying to squelch down on the 527s, which are for the most part used by Democrats,
right,
trying to influence the process. I'm not sure whether the problem in politics is money itself or whether it is politicians behaving unethically. And I think there the solution is for voters to hold elected officials accountable.
Yeah, now, but that sounds nice, but we have a broken system. I mean, either you've got people going into Washington because they want to make a buck, or you've got politicians who get there and say, hey, I can make a buck, or, you know, I can be beholden to these special interests. But, you know, that's not always been the case in the United States.
Unfortunately, I think it may have been. I mean, what we've gone from is a place where you have, say, the senator from Boeing to now you have the senator Republican from Preston Gates, which was Jack Abramoff's law firm. Or many times you do have actually now lobbyists who not only are former officials, but you also have former lobbyists trying to get into politics.
But if you go back to 1907, I mean, Teddy Roosevelt made it a felony to take money from a corporation.
That's right. Well, maybe it's time to revisit that.
I think so. I think this is one of the areas where liberals and conservatives can meet. Michael Continetti, the author of the K Street Gang. Matthew, thank you. One more time. Matthew Continetti, the author of the K Street Gang, The Rise and Fall of the Republican Machine. Matthew, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Great talking with you. 16 minutes past the hour.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. One of the best things about getting an 8-pound Oreck XL vacuum is what you don't get, namely, a cloud of dust in your face every time you turn it on or when you empty it, which means you won't get a house full of bacteria that travels on dust. Call 1-800-989-4200 for free literature or a free 30-day home trial. You'll breathe easier knowing. Knowing it's an Oreck XL. 1-800-989-4200.
Country singers Bruce Robeson and Kelly Willis.
We had a gig in half an hour.
But with my allergies, I wasn't all there. I just couldn't sing.
I told her, you need Claritin D.
So I got Claritin Clear. Claritin D relieved my worst symptoms, even congestion and sinus pressure, fast. And I wasn't drowsy.
Told you.